this vision of this scientist who was on the scientific board of Novarex, the whole company changed character and received funding from the outside world to the tune of $40 million now. And he's beginning to produce compounds which we think will be very useful in the therapeutic sense.
And your own, are you a member of the board of that company?
I was a member of the board originally, but when I got to be 80 years old, I stepped down because there were people from the venture capital world who wanted to be on the board. So I became a founding board member emeritus. And now I don't vote at the board meetings, but I am.
Keep an eye.
I go to them when I can, and I have influence there too.
This is not involved with clinical trials so much as with making
the synthesizing the compound, and then the second stage is starting to do clinical trials. And that, as you know, is a very time-consuming and effort-consuming stage.
So are there some products in clinical trials now? Or?
There are two products, potential products, that are almost at the stage of going into trials. Mm-hmm. And the first part of the trial is to determine if it has any obvious toxicity or not. And the second part is to find the areas where it has some therapeutic effect.
Is that company in the Boston area?
Yeah, it used to rent space from Polo.
Mm-hmm.
Some things. And in fact, after it got to be about 2 years old, I persuaded a senior Polo scientist to join the company as president of the company. And he was very successful.
So how many employees does it have today?
It has about 70 employees. And it has spanking new laboratories in Waltham, put up by a commercial company who gets paid for that. But it did start its life in the laboratories of Polaroid. It's really amusing, isn't it?
All right.
It did start its life there.
Mm.
Because Polaroid was at a stage where it was shutting down facilities.
Yeah.
And here was a chance for them to use these facilities.
Mm. What about IOCD and
I'll talk to you. I mentioned to you that when I was doing the work for Chan, I got to know a chemist who worked for Syntex and then started to work for UNESCO. Well, his name was Pierre Krabbe. And he was a visionary. He wanted to help developing nations succeed through science, and particularly through chemistry. And he conceived the idea of having an organization, which he called the International Organization for Chemistry in Development. And he set up this organization 20 odd years ago, and I was one of the founding people. And that organization now continues to do well, in that it has very good context with developing nations and has context with organizations in the United States particularly, but also in Europe, who can help, who want to help developing nations succeed through science. And this is going on now. It's not a simple thing to do, but it's being done. And the IOCD continues to prosper. I'm actually now vice president and treasurer, so I spend some time helping them.
Is it, does it have staff?
It has full volunteers.
Yeah.
It has one, I won't call him paid staff member, but he's a retired chemist who devotes his time and gets a very small amount for doing the necessary administrative work.
And IIVD is?
IIVD is another outgrowth from other activities. It's the International Institute for Virology Development. And it's a profit organization which tries to do new things in the area of virology. In particular, its main mission now is to develop a really useful therapeutic vaccine for AIDS.
Well, that's not a small mission.
It's not a small mission, but it's trying. And we have a very small staff, but it's a staff that's helping us try and achieve that mission.
Did that begin in 1906 as an organization? I mean, were you one of the founders, or?
One of the founders.
And it came out of where? It
came out of people who were working in virology in another organization. And people who were at the medical school and school of public health during the years. Mm-hmm.
So that's another early stage biotech.
Right. It is an early stage biotech.
Yeah. With how many people in it today?
Not many, 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. It's very early stage.
Yeah. Yeah. But it is a separately.
It's a separate,
separate entity.
Yes, in particular, we're trying to work with developing nations in developing this vaccine, which some people feel could be very useful.
Mm-hmm. What about the Affymax connection? Can you talk about that?
Sure. Affymax was a company set up by a...
This is Alex Zaffaroni.
Yeah, mm-hmm. By a very distinguished person, very interesting person. And he conceived the idea of bringing together talented people from the academic world to develop a new company. He did bring people together, and as a result of that, the Affymax was founded, which in turn resulted in the development of new types of
Well, it's a transdermal practice, isn't it?
Well, part of it, but the real thing that it's now developing are beginning to slow down.
Yeah.
The things, let me come back.
Yes.
I'm beginning. Let me.
Should we take a pause?
Yeah. Drug delivery problems.
So you were one of several advisors to that?
But it was subsequent to the formation of Alpha Corporation that we worked on providing a means of recognizing DNA. By using the properties of DNA to bind to certain materials. That's Alex Afroni is a very interesting man. And he's an imaginative man.
Yeah. Somewhere in some way, this was a parallel theme in all of this. Is the journal Biopolymers kind of connects with these territories, doesn't it?
It was. Biopolymers is a coined word. It used to be polymers. We coined biopolymers when we started to think about having a journal devoted to polymers which have biological significance or biological properties. And that's what we founded. Frank Kachowski, Kitzir, and I, with the help of Eric Parscale, coming to Science Publishing.
Oh, yes. And were you the founding editor?
Editors together.
I see.
Yes.
And you continued that for 22 years. Is that right?
Well. I don't think. What does it say?
It says 63 to 85.
Yeah, and then we got out of it.
Yes. There's a whole different territory we haven't touched, which is the FDA.
And right, so I think we ought to reserve that
for another time.
For another time, because it does bear on my previous life.
There's these other activities on the second page. I'm wondering, Elton,
should I give a paragraph or two on each activity?
Yes.
I could do that quite easily.
Yes.
All right. In order, not in order of importance, but in order of
appearance.
In this list, let me start out with CBR trustee. This is the Center for Blood Research in Boston, a nonprofit organization devoted to following up on blood research of the kind initiated by E.J. Cohn, a Harvard professor. And I was asked to be a trustee in this, and I had served on that for many years. Similarly to that, I am trustee and vice president, and was a vice president, not am, of the Boston Biochemical Research Institute.
What is that?
It's a nonprofit organization of about 100 people devoted to finding biochemical substances which are of interest to the medical profession. The latest one is developing an antiviral treatment for Alzheimer's disease.
Is that, when did that come into existence?
Came into existence. It was founded by a couple of Harvard professors, John Berkeley being the most prominent, in about 1973. And they asked me to be a trustee of that, and I have continued to serve as trustee for all these years. And again, it's one of those things I do to try and serve society in the broadest sense. Now, the next item I wanted to talk about is the Marine Protein Corporation. This is quite a different activity that I was involved in the 70s. This was a company that was started with the idea of trying to propagate fish or fish for food in tanks. And it was the right idea, but it was before its time. It was possible to do it, but it was not economically feasible at the time. And I was asked to consult because of my interest in marine problems. It was the right idea, but the wrong time. The next item I want to mention is called, quotes, the big drop, close quotes. This is a movie that was made in Mexico by at the instigation of Carl Durassi when he was working for Syntex Corporation. And I and Alex Zaffaroni and Carl Durassi were all sponsors of this amateur-professional movie, which eventually was finished but was never shown commercially. It was one of those good ideas but never shown commercially.
It was a fiction movie.
Yes, a fictional movie. And along that same line, there was a fictional play called I Remember Mama that I was a sponsor of in those halcyon days of the 70s.
Did that go on Broadway?
Never got to Broadway.
Was that linked with Carl Durassi in any way?
No, that was sort of a some people remember I had been a financial sponsor of this movie, The Big Drop, and then they asked me to consider sponsoring this play, which I did in a small way, but it never went on Broadway.
So you made the right choice going for the sciences, not the arts.
Right, I hope so. following on that question of the sciences is some of the consulting things that I did during my lifetime. One is mentioned here, this Monsanto Washington University research agreement, which was a very large agreement for the two institutions to cooperate in new medical areas. It was an agreement which was one of the forerunners of university industry agreements and was very valuable to both Monsanto and Washington University.
And it was very, that was a sort of novel
at that time, right, it was novel at that time. The next item I wanted to mention was something that was close to my heart for over 10 years. Namely, I was a member of the advisory council of the Princeton Department of Molecular Biology. This came about because some of the chemists at Princeton knew me, and they asked me to be on a chemist, a biochemistry and chemistry advisory council. And that soon, after 2 years, that terminated and became a molecular biology advisory council. And I served for that on 10 years. It was hopefully being helpful to the department in helping it decide direction, in the sense that it helped the department decide what new members were really needed.
That was in 1974.
Right.
Departments of molecular biology were a very novel idea. It seems it to have all worked well.
It worked very well because we had a very vigorous chairman, Arnold Levine,
mm-hmm.
who is now president of Rockefeller University.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked well because, again, the leadership was important, as I emphasized in some of my previous comments. Leadership is important, and Levine provided leadership for this embryonic department of molecular biology. Now it's a very distinguished department. In fact, the just appointed president of Princeton University was a former member of that department.
Yes. That was
Tillman. And she was a member of that department. And she was the first, she's the first female president of Princeton.
Yes. And a non-Princeton graduate, I think.
A non-Princeton graduate.
Yes.
A really serious scholarly person, but in addition to being scholarly, a very wise person. And that was really good to be associated with that effort. I consider myself very fortunate in having been able to be part of it and contributed to so many diverse activities during my lifetime, all of which in a broad sense have the end thought being an improved environment for education and science as we now know it.
If you think of it, Alcon, in terms of
high points or points of particular pleasure from your own individual perspective as opposed to the world's applause, what is it that gives you the greatest pleasure on reflection?
On reflection, one of the greatest pleasures in my life is having the opportunity to work with really talented, good people. And among them I include Norman Simmons, who worked with me in developing circular dichroism's application to biology. A man who was a student at Harvard Medical School who started to work with me soon after I joined Children's Hospital. This was Wilbert Stryer. He graduated from Harvard Medical School, interested in biochemistry and biophysical chemistry, and went on to become a professor at Yale University, and following that, a professor at Stanford University. And he and I still talk to each other quite often after nearly 50 years. Another person whom I feel close to was Ephraim Kachowski-Katsia. Ephraim is a biochemist in Israel, a distinguished biochemist who's made many contributions to molecular biology, and who, incidentally, spent 5 years of his life as being president of the state of Israel. So that is another aspect that exists. Another aspect of my life. A fourth person whom I should mention, who I feel very fondly to and who worked with me, is Henri Lenormand. He was a professor at the Sorbonne in Paris, and Henri and I became good friends because we were both interested in peptides, and we ended up being friends not only because of peptide chemistry, but also because of enjoying a good life. And he introduced me to really the good life in France. And in addition to his work in peptide chemistry, in fact, I still have a connection with the Lenormand family in that I am the godfather of the youngest son, Henri Lenormand. So you can never tell when things will turn out well. As you know, one of my major friends was Bob Woodward, who unfortunately died at a premature age, but whose memory is still present, and many people consider him the greatest chemist of the 20th century. Maybe not. Some people would modify that by saying the greatest organic chemist, and I would accept that modification, because another friend was Linus Pauling, who was also a great chemist, and whom I had the opportunity not only of knowing but meeting with them in their various committees and things.
Was this in the National Academy? Or
no, that was prior to that. Mm-hmm.
Tell me this. You must have had numerous invitations at different times to follow other career pathways, to take other positions.
Right.
Can you talk a little bit about the roads you didn't take?
Well, you never really know what the roads would have brought you if you had taken them. I was given the opportunity to serve as a director of several corporations. These are for-profit corporations and industrial corporations. And as you know from my previous conversation, I did serve as trustee of many non-profit organizations. But serving as director of a profit organization is quite different. I found one I served on not too long ago, a small company here in the Boston area, that it was a frustrating experience because the company had talented people in it and could have done much more if it had joined forces with another organization. And in spite of my trying to get the management to do that, they would not do it, and I found it frustrating.
What essential differences do you see between being a director in the one in a not-for-profit and in the for-profit?
Well, the simple difference is that in a for-profit corporation, the bottom line is important. Can we do something at a profit? And the successful corporations do it as a profit, but the unsuccessful ones, of which there are many, just stagger along.
Where else might you have gone? I mean, you obviously have very considerable administrative talents, which are always in short supply in the academic world.
Well, one of the things I remember, just as I was offered the presidency of a very good academic institution.
What was that, please?
Something on the West Coast, a small, not a large one, but a small one, but very good. And I thought about it for about 10 microseconds and decided it was not for me.
Because
there were many things you had to do as president of an organization of that time. At that time, that I didn't want to spend my time doing. Namely, being nice to potential donors.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's an essential part of being president of an academic institution.
Yes. What about the West Coast? Well, I mean, were you ever seriously tempted to leave this environment?
No, I was never. I love and consider myself lucky in living in the Boston area, because here we have four seasons of the year, and we have intellectual colleagues that is world class, and we have environment both intellectually and financially, that is, can be very stimulating.
Yes.
Elkin, I think with your permission, I might finish this tape right there. And said, okay,
that'd be good.